We're going to be in John chapter 12 this morning. I put the information on the front of your sheet again because I wanted you to look at some of what I highlighted within the text. So you can either turn to John 12 or you can just look at the front of your sheet. And we're going to be looking at this call to finish well. And I don't know how obvious this seems to you, but it's not possible to finish well if you don't know what the finish is, right? Patrick had his track meet, and he was in his races, and if, you know, I said, Patrick, run real hard. Where? I don't know, just run. Where am I going? Where's it? I don't know, run. Well, you know, you've got to know where you're running to. You've got to know what the finish line looks like. And I think it's interesting because as much as I think this concept this morning in one way is so basic, it's like, well, yeah, I think we often forget this. And so I'm really praying that the Lord will continue to use this theme of finishing well. And I'm hoping you're taking the bulletin cover and you're posting it different places to remind you every day. Put it in your car, put it, you know, at your workplace. Lord, help me finish well each season, each task. Help me to finish it well. Help me be a reflection of who you are and live out the reality of what you want this to finish like. Help me to finish well. Hope that you're doing that. We're going to be in John chapter 12, and really today is about the grace to understand what the finish looks like. So I'm going to be beginning to read in verse 19, which is the end of the story of Jesus in the triumphant entry. Notice why John says there are many who are gathering to witness him coming to Jerusalem. And then notice the contrast about what Jesus thinks is important as the story continues. John chapter 12. Many people, because they had heard that Jesus had given this miraculous sign of raising Lazarus from the dead, went out to meet him. So the Pharisees said to one another, "See, this is getting us nowhere. Look how the whole world has gone after him." Verse 20. Now there were some Greeks, representing the whole world, among those who went up to worship at the feast. They came to Philip and said, "We would like to see Jesus." Andrew and Philip in turn told Jesus. Jesus replied, "The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. I tell you the truth, unless a kernel of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it remains only a single seed. But if it dies, it produces many seeds. The man who loves his life will lose it, while the man who hates his life in this world will keep it for eternal life. Whoever serves me must follow me. And where I am, my servant also will be. My Father will honor the one who serves me, who follows me." Verse 27. "Now my heart is troubled. And what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour? No, it was for this very reason I came to this hour. Father, glorify your name." Then a voice came from heaven, "I have glorified it, and I will glorify it again." The crowd that was there and heard it said it had thundered. Others said an angel had spoken to him. Jesus said, "The voice was for your benefit, not mine. Now is the time for judgment on this world. Now the prince of this world will be driven out. But I, when I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all men to myself." And he said this to show the kind of death he was going to die. Let us pray. Lord, we live in a world, and sometimes we live in churches that tells us that life is about this life. That the joy of this life is to accumulate and succeed, to gather, to become more popular, to increase. Lord, in the very opportunity at the triumphant entry when you had to choose between success and significance in this world's eyes, success of the world or significance of heaven, when you had a chance to change the race and go a different direction, you chose to finish well. You knew what the finish was. Lord, I ask this morning that you would allow each of us here, by the Holy Spirit's power, to truly understand what it is to finish well. And Lord, I ask that as we hear this word, that only by the Spirit, Lord, I can't produce it this morning, but only by the Spirit, that you would fill each person here with a new passion and a vision for what this life is really all about. In Christ's name I pray, and everyone said, amen. There are three times in the Gospels when Christ's life on earth causes the Father in heaven to audibly speak. There are three times in the Gospels when Christ is in such a spot and doing such a thing that what Christ is doing literally necessitates all of heaven shouting to the world, here's the glory of God. That's a significant observation. The three times are this. The first time, Jesus is doing what in Matthew 3? Anybody know? He's being baptized. And a voice from heaven says, this is my Son in whom I'm well pleased. The second time in Matthew 17:5 is when? The Mount of Transfiguration. When all of who Christ really is being seen and demonstrated among some watching disciples. And again, a voice from heaven comes and speaks, this is my Son, and by the way, listen to him. And the third and the only other time is John 12. Jesus, at the choice of his passion, the choice of his death, says, the whole world's interested in talking to me. I'm really popular. I've really got a lot of ways I can influence a lot of people. But there's only one really important thing I need to do. I need to die well. And the scripture shows us that through this truth, there are three times that in our lives that it seems like all of heaven thunders to say to the world, here I am. There are three moments in our life. There's a lot of opportunities, but there's three moments that all of heaven shouts, here I am, when we follow. The first is obviously the time of true repentance, represented in baptism. When you and I take that first moment and we truly repent, we become this giant billboard to everybody around us that says, here I am. Here is God. This is who he is. This is the truth. I want to remind you of a story that we saw 3 weeks ago at Anniversary Sunday. That's Daniel and Jessica. Daniel and Jessica, and I asked permission to share their story, met at AA. They met when life was probably the most broken and the most unraveled. And they had several times where they had met the Lord and kind of known him and tried to put some things together. But something happened within the last year of their life when they truly came to a place of repentance like never before in their life. And I said in their wedding, which was 2 weeks ago, that the moment they felt the farthest away from God's plan was when the plan was just beginning. And I don't know if you remember that day, but they had brought several of their friends, and their friends wept through their entire baptism. Wept. Because they knew
And those who wept were not necessarily believers, but all they knew was somehow God was thundering, look what I do. Look what I do. Because all of heaven shouts when we truly repent, and yet most of us in this room feel like our greatest place of shame and discouragement and failure is the place we want to keep the most quiet. Yet in God's hands, it's the moment of some of his greatest glory. I want you to see that June 7th, we had a few people ask about water baptisms in 2 weeks. If you want to do that, put it on your sign-up card. I want to take that step, and I want God to shout through my life, here I am. Well, the second is obviously none of us in this room are going to be transfigured, but all of us in this room can be what? Transformed. We can become like Christ. And when our life becomes, when life actually brings a transformation, when God's grace transforms us, it's like all of heaven shouts again, here I am, they're mine, this is what I do, here's the work, here's the best stuff I do right here. And so last Sunday, I did their wedding. And before their wedding, they were talking to me about the plan of their wedding. They said this, Pastor Sean, we've decided at our wedding, we want to wash each other's feet. So we went to this wedding, and this wedding has a lot of their friends from the past. And they wept when they saw Daniel wash Jessica's feet, and when Jessica turned around and washed his, they wept. Now, I'm not glorifying bad language, but a few people afterwards came up to me, we'd never been to church before, and said, this one guy said, that was blanking awesome. Throw out a few choice words. Like, he had no idea what just happened, but God had shouted. He didn't know how to say it or talk about it. He had no words for it. But like, that was awesome. Because it was like all of heaven was shouting. Remember this woman who went through so much, and now there's a man in her life who wants to wash her feet and take care of her. I mean, they got that because when real transformation happens, heaven shouts. They may not know what it is. They may use all sorts of interesting words to describe what they think is happening, but they hear it. And the third is this. When we die, heaven shouts in a special way. When we give our life and our last days for him to be known. Jesus says in John 12:24, if you tell the I tell you the truth, unless a kernel of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it remains only a single seed. But if it dies, it produces many. God shouts in the way we give our life at the end. He shouts in our death. You know, Jesus knew his greatest purpose. Imagine all the miracles he did, all the teachings he did, all the beautiful healings and transformations. But you know what? The greatest thing he did for us was die for us. And he knew it. He said it. Look, he knew what was coming. He knew he was getting the world was ready to put him on Oprah and interview him, and he's going to get on CNN. It was going to be terrific. He said, that's not what this life is about. It's not about how popular I can be or how many people are impressed by me or how many people want to hear what I have to say. See, I know my hour. I know what my purpose is. I know what I'm here for. Here's the reason I came. I came to live well, but I tell you what, I came to die well. I came to give the ultimate glory to the Father in the way I finished my life. And you know, for us, we don't understand that the finish line of life is to die well. The point of your life is a big give whenever God decides it's time. And it's beautiful. It's beautiful what you do in living well. But it's way more glorious that you die well. Because there is a choice in a world that rebelled from God and took life from God, when there is a person who gives his life back for God, when he gives it voluntarily and with love and with passion, says, I sacrifice my life for the one who made this world, it's like heaven shouts over a world of darkness, here is light. And you and I need to remember that whatever God does to use our lives, it's all about the big give at the end. We recognize this, the world recognizes this on Memorial Day. Nobody gets honored on Memorial Day because they had the highest number of push-ups in training camp, or they had the best car, or they had the best sharpshooting score, anything like that. They are honored because why? They gave their life. That's the legacy. Some of us need to remember that simple observation that the world understands. It's not, no one's going to say, well, you know, you were the coolest this, or you owned that, or no, they're going to say, how did he die? How did she die? What did they give their life for? What did it look like? God plans to use the way we die as our greatest way to glorify him. I believe this, that the greatest grace outside of salvation is that no matter what your past is, no matter if you say, God, Pastor Sean, I feel like I spent most of my life screwing up, and I hurt people, and I broke this, and I messed up that. You know what I think the greatest grace of this life is? That your greatest moment to glorify God is still ahead of you. No matter where you have been in your past, you can choose to use your next days and your final days to say, God, help me shout to the world who you are. As much as I wish I could go back and fix that and change this and undo that and re-say that, do you get that God is so good and that God wastes no pain, he wastes no mistake, he doesn't waste even death. He doesn't even waste it, but uses it in the moment that the enemy says, that's my greatest weapon. God says, no, it's my greatest weapon. And in your death, I'm going to shout who I am even more than all the life you've lived. That's how great grace is. And what it means to us is this, that finishing well has very little to do with being seen well. You need to recognize, do not let the world tell you that your significance is tied up into who sees you and how they see you. It's not about being seen well. It's about giving your life well. What did the scripture say? Revelation 12, 11. They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. Who is this? What's their testimony about? Is it they're giving a three-step gospel plan? Their testimony is that they did not shrink from death. They declared who Jesus was. How? In the way they died. Matthew 5, Jesus reminds us, blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven. You know what? It is a wonderful thing to be gracious. It's a wonderful thing to receive God give you favor with people. It's a beautiful thing. God does it all the time. He will use that. But don't ever confuse that with significance. Because the point of your life is not that everybody goes, well done, well done, well done. Oh, now we're going to go look at something else. The majority of the crowd showed up because Jesus had raised Lazarus from the dead. Dude, do another one. Dude, you do a trick. Make my life perfect. Make me happy. Dude, I'll follow you. You got three more miracles in your pocket for me? Absolutely, you're the man. And Jesus says, that's not what this life is about. They don't need to see me that way. They need to see me lifted up. Hey, Andrew, Philip, that's not me being lifted up. That's not me in the highest place. That's not the greatest expression of who I am. No, you know what? The cross, the way I die, the way I give my life, that's me being lifted up. That's what's great. That's what's significant. That's what glorifies God in heaven. That's what it is. Finishing well does not mean you always feel well. Can I get an amen? Jesus himself says, man, I'm a little unsettled and stirred up because it's hard to finish well. Because this world does not make it easy. Because there are things in my sinful nature and the deception and the pleasures and the applause of this world. I get a little troubled when in the middle of knowing what my hour is and knowing what my purpose is, I don't always feel well when I'm finishing well. Todd's about to do a really, really long race. I'm not sure he's going to feel well to finish well. But may you be pleasantly surprised, Todd. We've got to remember that. And this is the reason why I gave the sermon this week. Not everybody knows Bill Bell. He's served the three lead pastors of Cornerstones, been here for a long time. And if you go to life groups, he engineered and architected your classroom you're sitting in. He helped do this extension over here. And he was a faithful man, served in the military, and was always happy when Navy beat Army. And they have some great family stories about that. Bill, in the last year of his life, was pretty much homebound and had long nights, need pretty much 24-hour care all the time. Couldn't use the restroom by himself by the end and all that sort of fun stuff. He didn't feel well. But he finished really, really well. Told the story to the leaders. Bill was a man who would get up 5:30 every morning, read his word, always read the Bible through at least once every year, and would go. Bill was one of those guys who actually made a prayer list work. Like, you know, when you and I try to use a prayer list and it lasts like 3 days? Not him. That prayer list was faithfully prayed. Faithful man of prayer was a Gideon. Wasn't a soldier or student. At the end of graduation, we just talked with his family. I remember him at one of the L.C. Byrd graduations, handing out Bibles to all the students as they left the Siegel Center. He was always at Fort Lee until they told him he couldn't be at Fort Lee anymore, giving Bibles to every soldier. And Bill, basically within the last 6 months, couldn't really speak much, pretty much lost his voice. He was able, but it was very, very hard for him to do, and he didn't often do it. And so it was about two Thursdays ago that he had taken a significant turn, and Barbara, his wife, called me up, and we had been over there and following them throughout this time, said, you know, you should come. And so we went over, and the hospice was involved at this point. Went over, and Bill was there. Bill was at this point not often opening his eyes. And but you could get his, you could grab his hand, and if he'd kind of let you know there, he'd squeeze your hand, like, I hear you. So, you know, hey, Pastor Sean's here, and squeeze my hand. And I said, Bill, we're going to pray. Squeeze my hand. So we prayed together. And every once in a while, he's giving me a squeezing that hand again. Thing. And we finish up, and we're praying. We're just saying, Lord, and I dedicated this scripture to him. Because there's a guy, fought the good fight, finished the race, kept the faith. And there's a crown. I mean, we were saying, Lord, we release him to go receive his reward. And we're praying, and I finish up in prayer. And as I finish up in prayer, all of a sudden, when the whole family's around, all of a sudden you hear, amen, from Bill. Blew us all away. So some of the family has to leave, and just the presence of the Lord is there in a powerful way. I mean, it's just the seed about to go into the ground. And I can sense he's still praying. I got Barbara right there with me. I said, Bill, you're still praying, aren't you? Squeezing my hand. I said, Bill, we're going to keep praying right now. I grabbed Barbara's hand, and we start praying. And we pray for every one of his kids. We pray for Barbara. We pray for his grandkids. Squeezing my hand. Like, Aaron, this is like his amen, right? Squeeze, squeeze. We pray for the church. Squeeze, squeeze. We pray for missionaries. Squeeze, squeeze my hand. He was squeezing in tongues at this point. It was a very, very Pentecostal moment. He is just going to town praying. This man has barely any breath left. He's just, you know, he's weary and his body's done. And he finished well. He didn't feel well, but he finished well. I need to tell you, whether it is a season of life and you're just not feeling well, and please remember this for the end of life, feeling well is not the same thing as finishing well. Finishing well is saying, I finish giving him glory. I finish still with my eyes fixed on him. I finish still in faith that even the things I didn't get to see with my eyes get done in my family and for those I love and the promises God gave, I finish in faith, it's getting done. That's finishing well. And finishing well doesn't mean you play it safe. I'm not going to share the video. I'm just going to share this for a second because I don't have a lot of time, but if you've ever watched Francis Chan on YouTube, he's got this one illustration. He breaks out a balance beam. I don't know if you've ever seen this. And he said, look, this life is this balance of the supernatural and the natural. You're in this life, you're in this world, but you're not of it. And there's this kind of balance of following Jesus in the middle of this world, and it's tricky, and it's like being on a balance beam. And he said, you know, but it's not just like being on balance, it's like being on the balance beam in front of the judge, like in the Olympics. Because how you walk this out, how you finish this, what you do with this balance beam called life, it matters, because 1 Corinthians 3 tells us that there's this judge at the end of life, and he's going to reward us on the way we lived out faith, hope, and love in him. Paul says it in the story. He says, look, I fought the good faith, I finished the race, I've kept the faith. Now there's in store for me this crown, because the righteous judge, see, he's been watching me live out this balance beam. And this is where Francis Chan said, but you see, some of us, we get a little hurt in life. And you can't go to church and not be disappointed at some point, right? We get a little disappointed with church and some of the things we thought God was going to do the way he's going to do, he's not going to do it. And after a while, we know we got to keep living out the balance beam because we're not in heaven yet. So what we start doing on the balance beam is going like this. And then pretty soon, you know, our kind of goal on the balance beam is to just like not fall. And we kind of go like this. And we just kind of hang on there. And then at the end of the balance beam, you know, our biggest prayer is, God, let, you know, I just want to pass in my sleep, and I don't want to notice that I go. And I just want to, in the end, I just kind of want to land in heaven like this. And then I'll see you and go. He's like, are you kidding me? Are you going to live all your life doing this as your big demonstration of God and then finish up and go? Says, that's not the point of the balance beam. It requires some faith. The goal is not just to cling to it and hope you don't fall off and then get off as easy as possible. Last time I checked, it's always the most difficult moments at the end. It's like, stick it, land it. Go out, show everything that God could do through you. Do it. That's the point. Yet some of us, we're living like this. And then we're going to get done and go, what do you think, God? And he's going to be like, are you kidding me? Yeah, what do I do with that? We don't play it safe. We need to remember that this life is not about this life. That everything's a setup for the big give. You've got a big give in life. You know, it's not, praise the Lord, you work hard, you finish your career. I mean, enjoy that you don't have to, you know, do that routine anymore. But the point is not, man, the goal of a great life is not to have a great retirement. Like, how much I can relax. I'm not saying don't enjoy the fruits of your labor. But what I'm saying is, the point is to give it all at the end. It's to give it, to finish firm, have done it, the greatest step of faith. You know, the point is to glorify God through the way you finish life. That's the point. And if you don't see that finish line, you're never going to understand the seasons of your life because you're headed the wrong direction. You're going towards the wrong goal. This goal is about dying well for Him. That's what this is about. So I was praying about, so that's true, Lord, but what do I do with that? And here's what the Lord told me. He said, tell Him this. That doesn't mean you're reckless. It doesn't mean you're fearless. It just means you're courageous. Reckless is, that's right, I'm selling everything right now and I'm moving someplace. I'm not ready for it. I'm just going to do everything in ministry right now. And this, it's like, that's just reckless. You're not reckless. And you're not fearless. You know, the only time you're absolutely without fear is when the Holy Spirit comes upon you in the moment, usually during a big give. Then you are fearless and you're not afraid because the Holy Spirit just takes all fear out of you. But most of us do not live the majority of life fearless. You know what we do? We live our life courageous. Fearless is no fear. Courage is fear with obedience. And so, the word of the Lord to everyone in this room, knowing that life's about finishing well, is be courageous. Be courageous. Even though you are afraid, even though you are unsure, even though, you know what? As God told Joshua, but do not let this book of the law depart from your mouth. Meditate on it day and night so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you'll be prosperous and successful. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and what? Courageous. Do not be terrified. Do not be discouraged. For the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. Don't be reckless. You won't often be fearless. But be courageous. Obey, even in the face of fear. You know, sometimes that looks like big moments. But more often than not, it's just a series of small moments saying, I'm going to obey. I'm going to keep doing what God asked me to do. I'm going to keep the faith. I'm going to do what the Lord asked me to do. I was at a wedding yesterday with Sarah, and we're doing a friend of ours, and had a number of people in the homosexual lifestyle within the wedding and party and just family and friends and things like that. And I'm looking at my script where I do Genesis chapter 2, and you know, for this reason a man shall leave father is sad, and I'm thinking about all this. I'm thinking about the bride and groom, and I'm not, you know, I don't want to make some kind of political statement in the middle of the wedding. I'm just trying to do, you know, they asked me to do the wedding. This is what I'm going to do. And so I'm trying to be gracious. I'm trying to be thoughtful. I'm not, you know, I think the other thing is don't condemn, don't pretend, but be a friend. You know, it's like don't just sit there and be mad at everybody and don't pretend like sin's not an issue, but be a friend and walk with people. I said, Lord, just show me how to do that. So I just think about it, and I just say, yeah, I'm gonna read this verse just the way it is, and here's how I'm going to say it. And so I read that verse, and, you know, through all that, I'm sure there's some people that was an interesting moment for them there. And the presence of the Lord in that service was so great. Now, no one said, like, used a curse word to describe how awesome it was. But I had a lot of people come up to me and be like, that was like the most amazing God moment. Like one person said, that was the most amazing God moment I've ever had. Like, you know, it was just their God moment. And then my favorite was this one Marine said, you just made a Marine cry, son. You know, like, like there it went. It's like, all right. So whatever. But it was a moment. I don't know if that seems significant to you or not. But it was like, that was a moment of simple courage. Just saying, I want to do it thoughtfully, but I want to obey the scripture. I don't want to hide any of it. And you know what? And even many, everybody from that community, from the homosexual community that was there, were like, that was an awesome service. Thank you so much for that. That was, so, you know, they talk like that. It's just, we've got to be courageous in the small things. We've got to be courageous not to compromise. We've got to be courageous because it's important to live well, and it's most important to die well. And we're most likely not going to do the final well unless we start doing today well. So we start making some decisions, say, today. And so we start practicing the big give by dying in the small things, so one day we're ready to die for the big thing. And I don't know what it means to you, and I don't know, you know, what you think about, how much you think about life now and life in eternity. Scripture tells us to think about a lot. But my greatest prayer for everyone in this room, including myself, is God, I want a big give. I don't want to just collect it all and then be like, and just finish. I want to finish big. It might not be seen well, it might not feel well, but God, I want to finish this life with everything you gave me, giving it back to you. So I'm going to ask you to finish up in prayer with me this morning. Would you stand?